Yes, Lord. We praise you. You love for things beyond us, Lord. We cannot see them. For your guidance, your care, your nature, your love, your words from this book coming into our hearts, private devotionals, reading and sensing your Spirit speaking to our hearts around the world, everywhere, by your grace, your love for us, everyone, for the building up, the deep, calling to the deep, the hidden man of the heart being edified, helping us from our wounds, our hurts, our emptiness, our deceptions, enlightening us, Lord, guiding us, Lord. Bless our relationships. Teach us how to speak, how to listen, how to forgive. Teach us prayer. Teach us faith. Teach us God and build up the church worldwide. Every Baptist, Pentecostal, born again Catholic, every Presbyterian, every Orthodox, born again believer who is believing in you, trusting in you around the world, and send laborers into the fields and open our mouths to make known the mystery as we ought to. And help us, God, to open our mouth and to speak in love and understanding and firmness and authority and wisdom and blessing and kindness. Father, we pray for our country, God, that many would turn to you, many would repent and find you, for all of your servants, your messengers on radio and in the pulpits around our country and around the world, God. Fire, you make your angel spirits and your ministers of flame of fire. It must be, God, pray, there must be the baptism of fire, spiritual fire, God, to affect us, God, purge and clean by fire all the dross, all the foolishness, all the sinfulness, God. By your blood we are clean, and by fire we minister. We have a burning in our spirit that came not from the baptism of John the Baptist, but by the baptism of Christ. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name, bless these words. Amen. You may be seated. Turn, please, to 2 Peter, Proverbs, and then 2 Peter, Proverbs 6, please. In our month of January, our words of wisdom regarding practical life, and today about going to work, working, having a job, also in spiritual work and labor, and the bigger picture of work. And we know that in the beginning of the Bible, before the curse, remember this, before the curse, God made Adam and Eve, and he gave them a garden to keep. So when did that happen? Before the fall. That means to me that God made man to work. Now, work is not the result of the fall. The curse in the work is the result of the fall. The hard labor, the sweat of the brow. The curse is the thistles and thorns that come in our everyday labor. The sense of vanity, meaning I work so hard and I get so little. The sense of laboring and it amounts to very little or nothing. That is the curse that came on Adam because of sin. But before the curse and the fall, man was given a job. He was given a responsibility. And I have found, and I'm sure many of you, the blessing that comes from work. And if I'm retired, I still have a message. I have a purpose. I still have a heart. I still have love. And I have a mission. And I have work. Let me say a couple points here. Work. And we have what the work is, how we do it, and then why we do the work. When you first get a job, usually you are told what to do. You are trained how to do it, but then this one, why do I do it, is a very big question. Why do I do what I do? Some people work for a paycheck, and that's a good reason to work. It's not entirely a bad one. But it may not be enough for me because I'm deeper. I want to know why I do what I do. There is something deeper, and we'll look at that in a minute. So there's a very simple outline for us there that we will look at in the scripture. I work. When I am 3 years old, 5 years old, mom says, pick up your toys. I am made for work. God made us at all ages. I'm 90 years old. Maybe all that I can do is brush my teeth, okay, or walk from one side of the room to the other. This is not a small thing that Jesus really taught about the subject a lot in his parables. He talked about the landlord, about the servants, about being paid. He talked, he gave stories about a wedding and getting everything prepared. All things are ready. Work is a part of life, and we have realized that, of course, on many levels. And in the beginning of our Bible, when we have God making Adam and Eve and giving them a task, he also gave them something more, and that was himself. He was with them. He empowered them. He was the blessing. He was present with them. They did not have any sweat. There were no thorns or thistles. There was the presence of God. I want to say one other little point. When God made the world, he said he worked. How many days did he work? Six, one, two, three, four, five, six. I have a question. Could he have made the world like that? Why did he make it in 6 days? Have you ever thought about it? If he is almighty, if he is powerful, then why didn't he just go and the whole thing's done? Of course, he could have done it. Why didn't he? What do you think? Ask your neighbor. They're smarter than you are. Okay. He worked 6 days. God worked 6 days, and then he rested. I don't know why. You're smarter than I am. I don't know why. Sometimes the question is better than the answer. Huh? But I would like to say, and I don't think it's far from any of us to think, that he did it for us. Just say that when you work, there is a sequence, and then there is the rest. And the rest is an important part of our life. In a way, he's like in our world saying, I have worked, and I am now resting on the seventh day. And he gave us that day. And when he made us in which day? The sixth one, right? Why did he make us on the sixth? So we could enter into rest on the seventh. That we would not work in the wrong way, but we would be in rest. When he made Adam and Eve and he gave them a garden, he worked, he rested, he made man the last day to enter into his rest so that now through rest we would be able to work. We would keep the garden and manage this world that he had commissioned to us based on himself. He is at the very foundation of our spiritual life. Look up at our screen here. What is the big question? What? Pumping gas. How do I do it? By squeezing the nozzle. I mean, I'm dating myself because they don't do this anymore as a job. But what and how? Those are the easy things in one way. But why? When God is in your life, you find the why. When God is in your life, you find something more than just what and how. You find the why. And this is the new birth, the regeneration that we read about in the scripture. Okay, let's go now to Proverbs 6, please. In verse 6. Go to the ant. Who goes to the ant? The sluggard. Why does the sluggard go to the ant? To learn a lesson. Does God teach sluggards? Yes. How? By ants. He uses the ant to teach. The sluggard is a man who, let's be kind to him. He wasn't always that way, but he became that way because he lost his motivation. He didn't want to do work anymore. He didn't find any motivation in it. So God said, go to the ant and consider the ant. Maybe you will be inspired. Maybe it will help motivate you. Maybe you will understand something that you are missing. So he said, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, this is a big issue, I think. No guide, no boss. Let's say no dad, no mom, no best friend that's telling you what to do. The ant seems to have no leader. They actually have, in a way, you can read about ants and study them. There's a lot of information about ants. But I think we are all amazed at how industrious they are. They seem never to sleep. They work hard, and so on. No guide. In a way, a human being who has no guide, how could he, what will move him? How will he find the why? Why do I go to work? How can I find the deeper reason. How can I find motivation? How could I be moved? And of course, social psychologists are very interested in the issue of motivation. How can we find people to be motivated? How can they be motivated? And I want to answer that question this morning. Before we do, read it with me. It says, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, she still provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. She's a busy bee, hardworking ant, okay? But I think there's something more to say about this subject, because we can be workaholics, that some people work and work and work, and they work so hard, they work themselves to death. They say in Japan, there are about 10,000 people a year that die from this overworking kind of thing. They are healthy people, but you can look at it, look it up, and read it a little, read about it. I think the devil, if we think of life as being spiritual, and we do, we find that work is a great blessing. But work, when it becomes my master, can also be, it's wrong. But then work that I don't find the meaning in the work, the why. I heard about a janitor at a hospital who had a job of organizing things and also putting pictures up in the rooms in the hospital. And it was changing the pictures. And he wanted to find the pictures that would minister the most to the patients. And as he was doing his work, he had the what to do. He knew how to do it, but what was the why? It was actually love. Like, he wanted the patients to get better. He wanted them to be comfortable. He wanted them to be cared for. And so he brought into his work as something that was that a paycheck could never really do. It was what was in the heart of the person. Having no guide, but wait a minute, didn't the man have a guide? No visible guide, but the man had a guide, an overseer, that was actually able to tell him why. Why am I working in the hospital? Love. Love. I'm a simple man, but I'm working here in the hospital with love. And you could see how the whole world could change from being a janitor, even a workaholic janitor, but there's something missing. And even a man that is maybe he's doing his job just the bare minimum. And then there is somebody who has found Christ in his life. And he brings Christ into everything he is doing. Mark 10:42. If you bring a glass of water to someone in the name of a disciple, you will not lose your reward. What reward? reward. I have to say, there may be a reward. There is a reward that we have in heaven for how we live our life and what our motives are and how we are looking at things. I remember the woman who had two little pennies and gave them in the offering at the temple, and Jesus was watching, and he turned and he said, "See this woman, she has given more than all." Well, what did he see in the woman? But work. What kind of work? Work of love. What kind of love? What kind of work? A work of love, a labor of love, a care about God, a care about his work, invisible motive in the heart. Isn't that good? Something to think about. Sometimes we may hate our job or hate what we are doing, or we don't like it or care about it. But wait a minute. Could it change that something in my heart would change, that I could somehow see that what I am doing to the glory of God? Or that what I am doing, I can do it by God, by his grace, that maybe I could do it out of love. And then maybe I find myself in my work doing what I am doing, and I find actually a joy in it and freedom in it. Yeah, so this is our subject here. Turn now to 2 Peter, and we find it. Text. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I think new moms could have a little mini lesson on what it means to be a new mom and get ready for the shock of being home, closed in with a pile of diapers, and my duty to keep this little baby humming along and taking care of him or her. Well, is God with me when I make that adjustment? Here it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. What it pertains unto life, pertains unto my job, pertains unto raising my children, pertains unto getting in my car and driving on the beltway an hour and a half one way to work. That gives all pertain of the divine power given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Love. What pertains to life? The great thing is love. Joy, peace, quietness, like wisdom, thinking. You know, how can I be a blessing at my work? How can I bless my boss? How can I help the company I work for? How can I make sure when I came in on the cold morning, I was thinking of Scotty Dubé and all the heating systems in the building. I don't know where they're up on the roof or where they are. Where are they? Up on the roof. And I was thinking, wow, thank you, Scott. We got a warm building today, you know. Wow. I mean, this is his work. And it says the divine power, but divine power that he's given. Now, if you take a coal, what is coal? The black, what is that? You know what it is? It's packed energy. This coal, raw coal mined from the ground, is just packed carbon energy. You burn it, and it gives off this amazing energy. So you put it in a steam locomotive, and the machine works this way. Burn the coal, heats the water, the steam drives the pistons, and the engine moves. If you use that as a picture, that the packed energy is the divine power that will heat the water, produce the steam, and move the engine, and pull the train. That's really what it's saying. It's the source, that packed power. And that's what gets you to work in the morning with a smile on your face or tears. And you roll out of bed and push the coffee machine button and you get moving. Okay, getting up in the morning, that could be one. How about at noon? How about in the afternoon? How about on a Friday? How about in the summer? How about in my 40th year? Okay, so read the text with me. Verse 3, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue or excellence. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. There could not be any greater promise than that you have overcome death. There could not be any greater than all your sins are taken away, that your name is in the book of life, that God is the power for my new life now. There could not be anything greater for you and I than these exceedingly great and very precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's much to say about it there. Like, I don't want that thing. I don't know. I just don't want it. I don't want it. I don't have any desire for it. How did I escape that? The corruption that is in the world by the lust in me drawn to the thing being sold or given away. I don't want it. I don't care about it. How did that happen? By partaking of his divine nature, that makes you a worker that is on another category, another level. You are a worker that has escaped the corruption. You have integrity. You have a capacity now to be honest. You have an ability now because you have another nature. This is the coal, packed coal inside. Spiritually, it's the Holy Spirit and the nature of Christ that is in you, that is running all these systems and all these systems that are out here, like even working or showing up for work or being kind at work, all those systems that are out there are being driven by the very nature of God that is in you. So then in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith excellence or virtue, and to virtue knowledge. That's what we're doing now. We must give ourselves, and this is where we can close, we must give ourselves to another kind of work. You know what it is? It's heart work. It's work in my heart. The Puritans called it heart work. It's another kind of work. It's a concentration on these things that are listed here. Let's look at it. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. These are words that we study, think about, and see them in life. And we enjoy them. And they benefit. And it's another kind of work. It's like the work that we do on Sunday, when we go to the church and we hear a message and we're concentrating on the message and we carry it into Monday. And we do a little bit of work in our heart on a Monday. And then we do it on a Tuesday. And we have a way of thinking, a discipline, mental habits of thought. And the ant, it doesn't look like it has any overseer. It doesn't look like there's any boss. The whole ant colony is producing and working all the time. And when you look at another brother or sister, you might say, what's their engine? How does it work? How does he stay motivated? How does he find the reason, the answer to the question, why? Why? You know? Paycheck, yes. Why? Glory of God. Glorifying God. Work is good for me. Listen to all the benefits. I learned to work with people. I learned to be with people. Work is good for me. I have a schedule. I have a disciplined part of my life. I have a schedule. Work is good for me. It's I benefit by the self-image that you have from doing what you do, that you do it and you get it done, and maybe it's good. Maybe, you know, you benefit that way. The work of a laboring man is sweet in the book of Ecclesiastes. And the plague of life is that there's a curse in this world and there is an emptiness in our work. But when Christ came into the world, he changed that. There's a blessing in our work. There's a benefit in our work. There's something we gain in our work. And we glorify God in it. And it may be of a small order, like the janitor putting pictures up in the rooms of the hospital. And he's doing it, and he has found something that he is enjoying. He finds something that he understands, that he is enjoying. It's almost as if God is with him in his heart and in his love. I know that not all of work is like that, but I also know that these words in verse 5 relate to it. It says, we add to our faith excellence. We are adding knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness. And then ultimately, you know, the closing part here, he becomes poor that deals with the slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The benefit of the Spirit filling me is seen in the fact that we can be diligent about what we do and benefit from it. We become fat from it. It makes our soul fat, or we are enriched by it. See a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before common men. And we can't help but think of Joseph in the book of Genesis, who was that kind of person. And his boss gave all the work to Joseph, because in his boss it says he didn't know anything, and he knew not anything he had, only the bread that he ate, because Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored in 39:6. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you put fire in our belly by our new birth. And all of this means that we're able to live and move in this world in a way that's different. Because we are able sometimes to see you. And when we can't see you, we do it by faith. And then we hope to see you. And we hope to realize that our life is not in vain. Our life is a life of work, investment, caring, opportunities, love, knowledge, investment, care. And this is our new life. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here who's not a believer, please come to Jesus now. Come to Jesus now, just as you are. Please come to Jesus personally and believe in him and say in your heart to Christ, I believe in you. He forgives you. He saves you. He gives you this new life. Walk by faith in him. He will take care of you. He will bring you all the way to heaven. He forgives you and gives you a new name. Believe in him this morning. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Please say that. Yes, Jesus, I believe in you. And then raise your hand. The usher will give you a booklet. Anyone here this morning saying that prayer? Yes, to Jesus. Anyone at all? Yes, Lord. And on the internet, anyone at all, please send us an email and say, I have done it. And start living. Start living by faith in him. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit and guide and lead you. In Jesus' name, amen.